This is Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. The fight for life, it's the cultural battle that will shape the 2020 elections.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Than Bennett.
Hey everyone, welcome into Jay Sekulow Live. This is Than Bennett coming to you from Washington, D.C. We'll be joined by Jordan Sekulow here in just a moment, as well as other members of the team. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. But folks, we want to talk to you today about the cultural issue that is shaping the 2020 elections. I know it's an issue that so many of you care so much about. It's an issue that drives a lot of our work here at the American Center for Law and Justice. And it's really an issue that is now front and center in the national debate in the United States of America. And quite frankly, it's kind of a beautiful illustration of how our system of federalism is to work. Folks, it's the issue that is now animating state legislatures across the country as well. And of course, that is the fight for life, the debate on when life begins, the debate on when life merits protection under the law. You know, a lot of this was shaped with a couple of key flashpoints that happened over the last few months. One was the very radical abortion law that passed in New York, where abortion right up to the moment of delivery and some would argue in some instances after birth was permitted. And then second, really in the same series of days, there was the comments by the Virginia governor, Ralph Northam, suggesting a sympathy for infanticide, where a child would be lying on the table and maybe there would be a discussion about whether or not medical care would be provided for that child. Folks, that seemed like a very down moment for the fight for life, for the defense of life. But I really do believe it set up this moment that we are in now, where it ignited a national conversation and it focused in state legislatures across the country to actually debate the scientific merits, the scientific facts, the scientific research behind what a baby in utero is like, what protections are warranted. And we are seeing a discussion where some states are trending to the left, passing restrictive laws like New York, and some states are now engaging in the fight for life. We've seen a number of heartbeat bills that have been passed by state legislatures, signed into law, and another several that are being debated. I want to bring into the conversation now CeCe Hile, senior counsel with the ACLJ, who focuses in on a lot of these issues. And CeCe, I know we're going to delve into some of the specifics of these laws and these efforts in the next segments of the broadcast. But what I want to get from you initially at the outset of the broadcast is how you think this cultural moment is going to impact the 2020 elections, because we do have a divide in our country, but I see it as a good thing. And I'm wondering if you see it the same way. The merits of abortion, the merits of protections for life are actually being debated inside these state legislatures. And I, for one, think that's a good thing.
Yes, and we've seen the Supreme Court say that, you know, states have a legitimate interest in protecting life. And so we're seeing these states step up to the plate and say, we are interested in protecting life, whether that's when a heartbeat is detected, or in Alabama, when, you know, at conception, when life begins, we have a right and an interest to protect that life. And I think, you know, that's an issue that we are definitely going to see play a part in the 2020 elections.
And here's what Planned Parenthood has to say about it in a fundraising email sent out yesterday, I believe. It says, I'm sure you've seen the news. From Alabama to Ohio, extremist politicians are trying to ban safe, legal abortion and getting closer than they ever have before. But abortion is health care, period, full stop. And we're going to make sure that every anti-reproductive health care governor and state legislator knows we will never, ever back down from protecting this fundamental right, no matter what they try. I would agree with Planned Parenthood on one thing. This is the national debate inside state legislators, and we think that is a good thing. I would also tell them that we will meet them on that debate stage. We will meet them in the state legislators to advocate for life. It is about time we had this national discussion. If you want to be a part of the broadcast and weigh in, the number is 1-800-684-3110. Jordan Sekulow will be with us after the break. We'll go through some of these state laws. But if you want to be a part of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Walking through the battle for life that is taking place in our state legislatures across the country, also federally as well. An update on a conscience clause protection going into force. It has been finalized by HHS to protect medical professionals who have a conscience objection to performing abortions and to being part of the abortion procedure. So, again, a lot to talk about. Obviously, 9 states have passed heartbeat legislation to protect life when a heartbeat can be detected, which is usually around 6 weeks. These states have decided they know that the lawsuits are coming. Some have already been facing lawsuits. There's even lawsuits coming on the conscience protection. I think what happened is that when the pro-abortion activists went to states like New York and celebrated with the Governor Cuomo on stage and lit the Freedom Tower in pink and did all of that, when they celebrated taking all restrictions, all criminal penalties away from abortion, late-term abortion, abortion up until birth, no restrictions, no regulations, that they awoke the country. The country, which is not just pro-life activists, by the way, but they awoke a whole group of people who said, you know what, this is wrong. We live in a more civilized society than this. We have great technology. We know when life begins, and that becomes earlier and earlier as technology advances. I always have believed that technology will be the end of the abortion industry. And that ultimately they will no longer be able to deny what is true and what is fact. But there's still abortion distortion, even with the technology that we have now. But Cece, to me, the fact that these states whether it's 8 heartbeat states or Alabama, which is at conception, which again these will all be challenged. But to me, this probably wouldn't be happening right now, but for the aggressiveness of the pro-abortion industry.
Yeah, I think they poked a giant that they weren't expecting. So just like you said, I think you're absolutely correct that the states that value life saw what was happening in New York and more liberal states, and they said, well, we're going to do the same thing. And, you know, Supreme Court precedent has said that a state has a right to protect life. And even in the abortion cases, that the government may use its voice and its regulatory authority to show its profound respect for the life within the woman. And, it, you know, a state actually has an interest in promoting respect for human life. So that's what we're seeing. These states now are respecting human life, whether that begins at conception or a heartbeat. We're seeing this legislation pass.
Yeah, let's go to Susan in Louisiana. I think this is a great point with what I was just talking about. Susan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi there. I totally agree with what's been said because science has advanced tremendously since Roe v. Wade. We know so much more technologically, medically, et cetera. And I just don't understand because the left seems to, oh, well, it's, if it's abortion, it's like, oh, it's about your feelings. It's about your rights as a woman, blah, 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 yada, yada. But if it's science and climate, it's like, well, science is settled. It's climate change. Or if it's like your gender, oh, no, no, that's how you feel. They can't make up their minds where they're going. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I think that, again, it's abortion distortion. We see it often times again. It's whenever they feel like something, when does personhood begin, if you will? So they use the term fetus to describe basically now in New York, that would be up until birth. And Than, this is the entire debate amongst, it's they ignore science. We call it abortion distortion. They ignore the current capabilities of what it can be done. Even, you know, in utero surgeries. I mean, the things that were not even dreamed about at the time Roe versus Wade was passed. But they've taken this old case law and tried to expand upon it and say, see, you can't put any restrictions on what we want to do. We can end these pregnancies at any point, at any time, for any reason, and we're going to pass laws that make sure no one gets in trouble for doing so. And when New York did that, it is created, and then Virginia got in that whole mess, which I do believe is the reason why that governor will be disgraced for the rest of his career. Is it all came about because of his comments about abortion at birth. And he didn't apologize. He doubled down on it, even when the sponsors of that legislation, Than, backed away. They backed away in Virginia from legislation that would be as broad as New York or maybe even broader. So we're seeing reaction politically. And I think if you're looking for a cultural issue in the 2020, leading into the 2020 election cycle, this is probably the one because it's going to be the one that's being litigated. It's the one happening at the state level. And you're starting to see what states are going to say, you know, abortion till birth, and what states are going to say, no, we believe if there's a heartbeat detected, that there should no longer be an abortion allowed.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question but that this is the cultural issue of the 2020 elections, Jordan. And, you know, really the illustration that all of the state legislatures, virtually every single one of them, is debating some form of this, I think, is evidence of that fact. You know, there may be other cultural issues that infiltrate some states or another, but I do think New York and Virginia specifically inadvertently awakened a sleeping giant. And I think the left in Washington, D.C. realizes that. I think that's why they're fundraising on it right now. But, Jordan, this is something that we've said on this broadcast and through the ACLJ for a long time. The left had to abandon science on this issue a long time ago. That's why they're opposed to all of these informed consent laws, really for just one reason, because if a mother takes a look at an ultrasound when she is pregnant, she is not going to need a scientific background to understand that that is a life that is showing up on the screen. I mean, my wife and I have had this experience three times. You go in very early in the process and you see these pictures on the screen. Jordan, I mean, you know this as well. It is conclusive. So the science just is not on the side of the left. And I think they moved that scientific debate into the forefront of the national conscience. And now it's being debated across state legislatures. Jordan, I think federally, this is the cultural issue that both the right and the left, every single candidate, will have to take on.
Yeah, they will. I mean, there's no way to get around it because of what's happening in the states. We've seen this before in elections with other state initiatives, and they become the driving cultural issue, not the only issue, obviously, in the general election in 2020, but they become the driving cultural issue. So here we are back with the abortion issue really taking front and center stage. I mean, just on Friday, the Missouri House passed a bill to ban abortions at 8 weeks of pregnancy. The vote was 110-44. The bill is expected to be signed by the Republican governor there, Mike Parson. On Wednesday, Alabama signed the strictest abortion law in the country and no exceptions whatsoever at conception. That is the most strict abortion law that's been passed that I can imagine, that I can remember in history since Roe versus Wade. I mean, remember the first battle was, can you even ban partial birth abortion and a specific procedure within partial birth abortion? That took two times at the Supreme Court before ultimately that was okayed. Here's the states that have passed these the heartbeat legislation so far: Ohio, Kentucky, Mississippi, Georgia, Utah, and Arkansas. These have all been signed into law by governors. So they're all going to be facing, or already have been facing, legal challenges. We'll be standing with these states. Here are states that are considering doing so. So again, you know where you stand, because we have listeners in every state across the country, where you stand. Here's the states that have got it being considered in their state legislatures right now: Florida, Louisiana, South Carolina, Maryland, Minnesota, and West Virginia. Missouri also has got the one that just passed. Tennessee has passed a bill that would ban abortions if Roe versus Wade is overturned, which is an interesting way of looking at it as well. It's like preparing for the overturning of Roe versus Wade, which, remember, at CC, this is important. If Roe versus Wade were to be overturned, and we don't ever know if that's going to be the case, but let's say it is. People kind of think that's the end of the pro-life movement's fight. It's not. It's actually a new fight,
right?
Because all that would do is allow states to determine.
Right.
So a state like Tennessee that said, if Roe versus Wade is overturned, we're going to be a pro-life state. So they're already preparing for the potential for Roe versus Wade to be overturned.
Right. So the concocted, Supreme Court concocted right to abortion that happened in Roe, if that gets overturned, then the power just goes back to the states. It's the states that get to decide, just like you said, just like we're seeing in New York, just like we're seeing in Alabama. You know, are they going to protect life, and at what point do they decide when life begins? And that's the issue. So it will be a state fight if Roe gets overturned.
Folks, we are going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There is a lot to talk about on these issues, state by state. We want your thoughts on this, whether you live in a state that has taken action already or is considering taking action. This was all in response to three states, well, really two, and one with a court ruling. New York passed that unbelievable expansion of abortion rights. Virginia has expanded some range of medical professionals who can do the abortion procedures, but they backed off from the New York style law because of what happened to their governor after he backed it, and the two people who were backing him said, yeah, you could have the abortion and still kill the baby after the baby was born. Remember all that testimony in Virginia? So they backed off. So they did a slight expansion. Still puts people in danger because now non-doctors performing abortions. And then a Kansas court ruled in April that a state constitution protects a woman's right to terminate a pregnancy. So you're still, this battle is happening at many different levels in the states, courts, legislatures. We're going to be back to talk about all of it on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up, at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we went through the states that have passed the fetal heartbeat laws to protect and or that limit abortions at the middle of the second trimester. So kind of these are, again, new ways of really picking the battle, if you will, saying, you know, these are states willing. They know they're going to court. These are states whose governors and legislators and thus their constituents realize that by supporting this, you will likely face legal challenges. So you're going to have to use state resources to fight them if you truly believe in it. But if you truly believe this is protecting life, that's absolutely worth it. So you've seen it in Ohio, Kentucky, Mississippi, Georgia, Utah, Arkansas, Alabama. Missouri is right on the cusp of doing so. North Dakota and Iowa already have. So those weren't included in the first time we went through the list because they've already been enjoined by court order at the district court level. This underscores the legal battle side of this. So there's the state court issue, the state legislative issue, but then this gets right into federal court because it's the abortion issue, which is a federal issue because of Roe versus Wade and a constitutional issue created by the Supreme Court in Roe versus Wade. So we've already seen two of these enjoined by courts, which means CC, obviously a long legal road potentially. The next up will be, and I'll go to Than to kind of break down the circuit courts, but that's where we're heading next. And then ultimately, some of these may be ultimately determined by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, so it'll be a legal battle, absolutely. And like you said, we're seeing that. And as soon as these laws passed, we see, you know, Planned Parenthood jump into action saying that they will go after them in the courts. And that's why I think, you know, judicial nominees are very important. A lot of times that's something that voters and, you know, the public don't care much about. But it does matter who gets appointed in these judicial positions. And we've seen even the Fourth Circuit, we saw that flip from presidential nominees. It used to be a very conservative circuit. And because of past presidential nominations and appointments, it has switched to a liberal circuit. So it's very crucial to get these judicial nominees through and appointed. And we need to pay attention to that because that's where the battle's going to be.
Than, tell people about where the circuit court battle, the nomination battle is, because that's where the next, really, I mean, a lot of district courts are going to enjoin this based off precedent. They're not going to, you might get one or two, but then they'll immediately get appealed to circuit court. So, I mean, the battle's not going to be over at the district court level. Ultimately, most cases get handled, 99.9 are handled by circuit courts. This might end up at the Supreme Court, depending on what circuit courts do. But the circuit courts are rapidly changing in their structure based off President Trump's judicial nominees.
Yeah, Jordan, I think it's almost certain that this will appear before multiple circuits. You'll probably end up with a split between some circuits. Obviously, all these cases are not exactly the same, so you don't have the same set of facts. But you're right. There has been a significant shift at the circuit level in the makeup of these courts. There have been 40 circuit court judges approved under President Trump by the United States Senate. That's a record for this point in a presidency. Actually, Jordan, number 41 is very likely to be confirmed this afternoon. That's Daniel Collins, yet another judge for the Ninth Circuit. That would be the sixth nomination by President Trump to take a seat on the Ninth Circuit. There's another one pending. So here in a matter of a couple of weeks, there will likely be seven nominees from President Trump sitting on the Ninth Circuit. That would bring the tally of that circuit to 16 judges who were nominated by Democrats, to 12 who were nominated by Republicans. Obviously, Jordan, that doesn't break down strictly on how they would rule on a case like this. But just to give you some idea of the balance, the Ninth Circuit is coming back into somewhat of a balance. I would still suspect that would be a circuit that would probably be problematic for some of these life cases. You'll probably get some better rulings in some other circuits. But to CC's point, and the one you set up, Jordan, this is why we talk about judges so much on this broadcast. These cases that are coming out of these state laws are going to ultimately come up through the circuits before they get to the Supreme Court. And the judges that sit on these panels that the United States Senate is voting for confirmation on, Jordan, they're going to be the ones that decide, by and large, whether or not these state laws rise or fall.
We talked about this being the cultural issue for the 2020 election, and I'm not trying to trivialize the issue of life, But I'm just trying to be honest about, you know, we talk politics too, because politics plays an important role in this, who our leaders are. As Stan said, I mean, the judicial nominees would be a lot different if they're being made by Hillary Clinton right now. A lot different. These laws would certainly have no chance whatsoever. Again, we're seeing a shift. That's what's also scaring liberals about this next election cycle, is that you'd be a significantly bigger shift if President Trump has another 4 years of making nominations, both at the circuit court level and potentially the Supreme Court as well. But this just was sent out, I mean, literally like 10 minutes ago by Joe Biden's presidential campaign. The subject line, the date, May 21st, 2019 at 11:15 a.m. Central Time, so 12:15 p.m., which if you're listening, that is a 15 minutes after the broadcast started. The subject of this email from the Joe Biden presidential campaign. You can see it. I'm holding it in my hand right now for our Facebook and Periscope audience. Biden president. I won't comment on that yet. The subject line is Roe versus Wade. Now, I didn't know Joe Biden was going to send this email out. This came after we were on the air. But I did say that I believe that this would be the cultural issue. There'll be economic issues. There'll be foreign policy issues. There's always a cultural issue that pops up that has to be discussed by presidential candidates that they have to address. They have to pick a side. They have to choose. And you can't play the middle on. Well, Joe Biden's being very clear, because his subject line is Roe versus Wade. And here's his email. Republicans across the country are ushering in extreme laws that clearly violate the right to choose that is guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution, as the Supreme Court explained in Roe versus Wade. I refuse to impose my religious beliefs on other people. Women should control their own bodies, period, and abortion should be a decision between a woman and a doctor, period. That's the law of the land under Roe versus Wade, and it must remain the law. Speak out with me, and he's sharing a petition. He goes through the states and how important the Supreme Court will be. This again, this idea that he believes this will be a rallying cry for his base. By the way, I never believe this is very typical Joe Biden. I refuse to impose my religious beliefs. Take out religion from this. Use science, Joe Biden. Don't you believe this is a life? And if you do, then it's either you are on the side of taking a life or not. And using a lot of old rhetoric. Women have to do this, and men are trying to take this away. That is absolutely not the case. In fact, what we see CC leading the charge on all this legislation at the grassroots level is mostly women leading. It is women who are running the pro-life pregnancy centers, women who are pro-life pregnancy counselors, and women who are backing legislation like this. And whether they're state legislators or state senators, and they're signing it, and they're passing it, and they're supporting this legislation too. So to try and divide this between, it's some issue between men and women, which is typical on this issue, it's not the case.
Right. And it's just like you're saying, if you don't have the facts, which they do not, they use emotion, and they try to divide. And it's absolutely not a man versus woman issue. This is when life begins. It's a personhood issue. And that life, when life begins, needs to be protected. And women care about that a lot. So, and so do men. So it's not just men trying to protect it. It's women as well.
Folks, we come back second half hour. We're going to take a lot of your phone calls. People have been holding on. Want to get the facts out there. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Go to aclj.org. Great resources there, including blogs up about this legislation that is moving across the country to protect life. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We wanted to update you on the legislation that's moving across the country because it gets a lot of attention and oftentimes negative attention in the mainstream media. The heartbeat legislation protecting life when there can be a heartbeat detected, protecting the unborn. States that have passed it, just let me go through it one more time for people. Ohio, Kentucky, Mississippi, Georgia, Utah, and Arkansas have done something similar in the middle of the second trimester. North Dakota and Iowa also passed heartbeat legislation. Both of those have been enjoined by a district court. So these are going to be court battles. Missouri is on the cusp of doing so. Alabama did one at conception, which is the, probably the most aggressive pro-life legislation that has been passed and cited to law by any state since Roe versus Wade. Florida is considering two different pieces of legislation: Louisiana, South Carolina, Maryland, Minnesota, West Virginia. We talked about Missouri already, and Tennessee has a law that would ban abortions if Roe versus Wade is overturned. Because again, if Roe versus Wade is overturned, the issue of abortion and the legality of abortion goes back to the states until the personhood issue is decided ultimately, which could be a federal issue, the right of the person. We know it's this major cultural issue. We know people have a lot to say about it. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Than, you said something in the chat, but I think it's important for everybody to hear right before we go to the calls. The left is fully engaged on this issue and riling up their base. So we have got to as well. We have got to be ready to defend these laws, be able to counter what we hear in the media, because it is certainly going to be an issue that they are deciding to not hide behind anymore, not slip this in as legislation anymore, but actually put right out in the open.
Yeah, I think that's something that we can sometimes take for granted here in Washington, D.C., Jordan, because we're used to walking down the street and seeing the Planned Parenthood and NARAL activists on the streets. We know that they are animated. We know that this is an issue that the left gets excited about. But I think that we saw evidence of this in Virginia and New York and other places. Jordan, this is not something that they want to push on the back burner. This is now a priority issue for them, and they are going to use it to raise funds. They are going to use it to push out their activists. They're going to use it to get out the vote. This is something that is animating both sides, and we do live in a very divided America in some ways on this issue. But the left is going to be pushing not only their voters out, Jordan, but their activists to get these laws passed or the pro-life laws defeated. So if you are someone who cares about life, you're someone who wants to defend life, it's no longer enough to just stay on the sidelines and hope, Jordan. It is time to go to work. It's time to vote. It's time to advocate. It's time to engage your state legislatures. The left activist on this, the pro-abortion movement, Jordan, it has to be met. The facts are on our side. The science are on our side. But those facts and that science won't be carried unless our members, the pro-life members, the people who care about life, carry it and meet the pro-abortion activists where they are.
If you want to talk to us on the air, call now, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Martha in California on line 3. Martha, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Martha.
So I'm on a – it's really difficult for us over here in L.A., you know, to do anything. What do you have any suggestions? What can we do in such a liberal state? I mean, it just kind of seems, you know
– Well, one, know who you're voting for. I mean, there's always options in voting at very different, all different levels of state government, local government as well. But two, one thing you can do in a state that is very open with its abortion laws is work with those pro-life pregnancy centers. I mean, Cece, just quickly, that's a great place for people like Martha to go and kind of do something about being pro-life, being proactive, and helping those make the right decision.
Pregnancy center is a great way to combat in California. Those are the centers that are making the difference. Those are the ones that are telling the truth to the women who are pregnant. So that's the best thing that she can do in a state like California, besides vote.
Yeah, of course, vote, but you can get involved. So even in states that you've got these very much pro-abortion laws, there are always pro-life organizations you can get involved with at the state level. And you can really get involved in the work. Volunteering at a pro-life pregnancy center is a great thing to do. And there, you live in L.A., they're all over the county, all over L.A. County. We'll be right back. Take your calls on Jay Sekulow Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Two great Facebook comment. One question, one comment. Ted on Facebook wrote in, is Biden pro-choice or pro-life? Because he's flip-flopped on that issue. He may have a long time ago in the past, but what he tries to say is, you know, religiously he's pro-life, but not politically. Well, that's a great politician, right? I believe it's life begins at conception, which is what his church teaches. But I'm not going to actually, you know, put that into action. You're talking about human life. But take, you know, so people ask, is he pro-abortion or pro-life? He is pro-abortion to the most extreme extent. He may try to sound like he's not. He always tries to sound like he's moderate. He is as pro-abortion as Cuomo in New York, as Hillary Clinton, and as Barack Obama, who he served, which means he now supports abortion till birth because he's putting out emails today after we were already on the air about how great Roe versus Wade is, how bad these laws are that we're talking about. He talks about Alabama, Georgia, Missouri, and the heartbeat laws, and how important the Supreme Court is. So he's got a petition to defend Roe versus Wade. Abortion on demand at any time. That's what Joe Biden is about. Kill the baby up until birth. And maybe even some of those activists who have gotten caught saying, even if the birth's already occurred, you could have a discussion about it. Remember, that was the Virginia governor who was also a pediatric neurosurgeon, so was not like a non-expert talking about it. He doesn't have much of a career left afterwards, and I mean, probably rightly so, because he knew better, and still, for political purposes, like Joe Biden, is embracing an ideology of death because it serves their political interests. The second great comment was what we also made. You don't, with Jeanette on Facebook, you don't have to be religious to be against stopping beating hearts. That's what this legislation is about. It's about the heartbeat. It's not about some religious belief. It's about, here's the heartbeat. You can hear it. Science is right here. I mean, you can buy these to do it at your own home. They're cheap, and you can hear these heartbeats. And that is what we're protecting. Not some esoteric religious belief out there about when life begins. Here's the heartbeat. Life has begun.
Right. So when is life protected? Life should always be protected. That is a constitutional right. We have a constitutional protection of life, and we now know that life begins at conception. That's not an issue anymore. And so life needs to be protected. Personhood needs to be protected, and that baby has a right to protection and not to be murdered after conception.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Sandra in Massachusetts on line 6. Sandra, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling in.
I've just been listening for days. I feel as if I was a victim of Planned Parenthood. The way they mislead women and send a message that it's not life. I had an experience, and they blinded me from the truth. They could have allowed me to make a choice, and I would have made that choice if I had just seen a screen, heard a beat. They don't give you that option. They blind you in a room. They take you in a closet pretty much, and they tell you it's okay. There's nothing forming in there. If I had knew what I know now, I would not be in the position I am with, that I have to live for the rest of my life knowing what choice I made, because I simply didn't have all the facts in front of me.
And they fight, Sandra. I appreciate you sharing that personal story. I know that's difficult. And they fight to make sure that you don't get that informed consent, the real choice. You know, they like to say choice, but it's the real choice. In fact, they've got an email out today, Than. This is another email from Planned Parenthood Action Fund. This is, by the way, how they fund political campaigns. So there's Planned Parenthood, and there's Planned Parenthood Action Fund. That's where they take millions of dollars to give out to these candidates. And it says, I'm sure you've seen the news from Alabama to Ohio. Extremist politicians are trying to ban safe, legal abortion and getting closer than ever before. But abortion, and this is in all caps, is healthcare. Period. Full stop. Abortion is healthcare, Than, and that's exactly what Sandra was led to believe. This is just normal medical procedure. It's part of being healthcare. There's not a choice. You know, if you've got a health problem, you don't really have a choice usually. I mean, you can either decide to treat it or not treat it. But if you decide, you know, if you decide to treat it, that's the only choice you have. That's what they want you to think of as this, is that this is a healthcare procedure, not something unique, not a taking of a life, not ending a pregnancy even, but that it's part of just basic healthcare.
Yeah, Jordan, unfortunately, we hear stories like Sandra's all of the time. I would certainly say that my heart goes out to her. But look, this is the business model that Planned Parenthood has. To be pro-choice, Jordan, having a choice requires options. And to have real options, you have to have access to information. But why does Planned Parenthood and NARAL oppose giving information to women? It's because when women see the information that is available, Jordan, they choose life almost every time. And look, the evidence is in the very own numbers that Planned Parenthood puts out. Their own numbers, Jordan, say that they do more than 330,000 abortions every single year, and yet they only service about 5,000 mothers who carry that child to term and either have prenatal services or give that child up for adoption. Jordan, a ratio of 332,000 to 5,000 does not happen by accident. It's because stories like Sandra's are the norm. When you walk through the doors of Planned Parenthood, they are planning to give you an abortion, and they will withhold whatever information is necessary in order to accomplish those goals. Jordan, that's not pro-choice. That's anti-woman, and that is pro-abortion.
My question to the audience, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to be on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Do you support the states that are taking this action, knowing that they're going to face legal challenge? So would you support this action in your state, or have you already supported action in your state? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Do you want to pick the battle with Planned Parenthood? Start the battle. Again, restart this conversation in the United States, which, by the way, really was restarted by the New York legislature and the governor of New York. And I don't think they realized what a giant they were going to awake, because the vast majority of people were disgusted by what New York did. But I want to get your thoughts on this. If you lived in a state and you knew your taxpayer dollars would have to go to fighting for these laws, are you willing to do that, to take the words into action and really live by it? 1-800-684-3110. Want to get your thoughts on that. It's 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Diane in Nevada. Diane, I wanted to give you time to explain, because that's why I'm holding your call. I appreciate you holding on. You're on the air now.
Well, thank you, Jay, and thanks for taking my call. I am a member, and I think everybody out there should first be a member of your organization.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
It's just, I used to talk to women at crisis pregnancy centers. I understand what that poor caller before us went through. Yep. And how many women are not told about post-abortion syndrome and all of that. But Jay, I think there's an argument that we're missing because the pro-choice keep falling back on it. Well, it's my body, my choice. But if a doctor removed an egg from a woman and impregnated it in the petri dish, it would begin to divide. We could visibly see this with a microscope.
Yeah.
He would then put it back in and her body would house it, but it is definitely not part of her body. And that thing, as an egg laying in her womb or in a petri dish, would not begin to divide unless it was fertilized.
Right.
So I think that kills that argument that they try to fall back on. Well, but it's my body. Well, when you make the choice to get yourself pregnant, and you don't really make that choice, but you do, then you have to be responsible for at least housing that life, because that life belongs to the state. That was part of Roe v. Wade's argument from the state side, that was a protected person.
Yeah. Well, you know, Diane, you know how they try to change this? Is they're not necessarily disagreeing with you. They're trying to use a new term. This is Christine Quinn. I want you to listen, Diane, and hang on. She's the head of the National Institute for Reproductive Health, pro-abortion. Take a listen, Bite 21.
When a woman gets pregnant, that is not a human being inside of her. It's part of her body. And this is about a woman having full agency and control of her body and making decisions about her body and what is part of her body with medical professionals.
I mean, so you see, Diane, how they've changed it from the egg to fertilized egg to, well, it's not a human being, because they're trying to change the way people envision. So until it's taking the form of an entire human being, well, then it's not a human being. So it's part of the woman's body. And so, Diane, because what you said, people realize now, people understand, you know, through things like IVF and others, it's known. Everybody's seen the images on television. They've seen it on even on the regular mainstream news and the nightly news when this was all being developed. These miraculous medical procedures. But Diane, now you see what they're saying is, if it doesn't actually look like a human, a full human being, it couldn't just walk outside, you know, the womb and survive on its own. Well, then it's still part of the body.
Okay. Well, I understand that. I think in the case, though, of a surrogate mother, if you put it into a different woman, it would still become a baby.
Yeah.
So there's no way this has anything to do with that other woman's body.
No, I agree with you. I think that that's where the law has been wrong from the beginning, and science has taught us that the law is just not up to speed with where we are medically or scientifically. It's why the terminology is getting pretty goofy on the abortion side. Not a goofy issue, but it's getting goofy because they don't use scientific terms anymore. Now it's these broad terms and kind of ridiculous statements. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us. Final segment coming up. We want your calls, your thoughts on this fight. 1-800-684-3110. Also check out ACLJ.org for great information.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Final segment of the broadcast today, taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you want to get in the conversation, you have to call about right now. So get your call in now, and you can still get on the air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've taken a number of calls today throughout the show, so open some lines up for you in this final segment so you can get through now, 1-800-684-3110. Do you support these states standing up for life, knowing that the legal battle's coming? Would you support your state doing it, or have you already been working on this in your state? Because knowing that you're going to have to fight this out legally, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones. Barbara in California online too. Barbara, you're on Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, Jay, for taking my call. First of all, I want to clarify, since Roe versus Wade has not been overturned, yeah, why is it that the governor of New York has the authority to pass that heinous bill that says that life can be taken up to the moment of birth and even after, if I understood it correctly?
Yeah, I mean, because the way Roe versus Wade has been interpreted is that it doesn't limit any laws that expand access to abortion. It only limits laws that restrict access to abortion. So let me say that one more time. Roe versus Wade it sets the bar for the minimum standard that you have to have, the minimum abortion rights you must have. But you can expand past that. There's no law that says you can't expand more. The only one is one partial birth abortion law about one specific procedure that says you can't do in the state. But other than that, what Roe versus Wade has said, this is the minimum of abortion laws that you have to have. So it doesn't stop you from expanding on that, CC. I mean, that is where people, and it's a good question.
Right.
Why can states even get involved if this is a federal right. issue? And it's because all the federal government did through the Supreme Court in Roe versus Wade to say, this is what you must allow,
right.
but you can allow more.
That's correct. They created this. It's a judicially created right to abortion. But what we did see then in abortion litigation later, in like Casey and Gonzalez, the Supreme Court then clarifies that Roe's been misinterpreted, that they undervalued a state's interest in protecting life. And so that's why we're seeing these laws now in Alabama and Georgia and Missouri, because in Casey and Gonzalez, the Supreme Court definitely said that a state has an interest in protecting life in the mother.
Thad, you brought up too that at this idea too that under Roe versus Wade, states have passed laws like New York that have allowed this abortion up to birth or even this afterbirth, and that it is Democrats on Capitol Hill preventing laws from going into place that say we're not going to allow infanticide in our country. Instead, they say, well, that's not what the law says, even though it is what the laws allow. The laws never explicitly say that; they just put no restrictions on it.
Well, right. In the wake of Governor Northam's remarks that he would be maybe sympathetic to infanticide at the federal level, there were attempts in both the United States Senate and the United States House to clarify. It was the Abortion Survivors Unborn Child Protection Act, which Jordan very simply addressed the situation that Governor Northam raised, that if a child does survive an abortion and is actually birthed and is living on the table, that it would provide that child would be entitled to medical care just as any other infant would be now that he or she is separate from the mother's body. Even that situation, Jordan, was opposed by the left in Washington, D.C. It came up for a vote in the United States Senate. Only three Democrats voted in favor of that protection. It failed to get to the 60 votes necessary to clear the United States Senate. And maybe even more shocking, Jordan, there have been literally dozens of requests for unanimous consent in the House of Representatives to just have the debate, to just air the debate. If you want to vote against the legislation, that's fine. But those unanimous consent requests have been blocked by Speaker Pelosi's House, Jordan, every single time. So the United States Senate couldn't get the votes necessary for that basic protection. And Jordan, the United States House, they won't even debate it.
Let's go right back to the phones. Jill's got a good question calling from North Carolina on line one. Jill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is very factually based. I've read on all kinds of social media, Facebook and whatnot, the emotional arguments for pro-abortion. I'm very much pro-life, and I'm wondering what are the factual arguments that will be used during these court cases for all of these laws that you say are going to have to fight. What kind of factual arguments will be used to support pro-life?
Well, science. It's not going to be based off religious belief or when we believe that God has ordained this life. I mean, even you can believe that, and I'm not trying to take away from faith at all. But when you go into court, we have actually, and this is science on our side, you have the heartbeat on your, you can hear the heartbeat. As the other caller mentioned, Cece, you could take this egg out, fertilize it outside of the womb, outside of the woman completely, and then decide to put it into another a woman. And then the life continues to grow. And the life actually continues to grow in the Petri dish on its own.
Yeah, so personhood and when life begins, that's the argument, and that's the battle. And even Roe, they admitted that if personhood is established in that fetus, and that's what they call it, then Roe completely fails. So the whole issue is, when does life begin? And obviously, again, in cases that came after Roe, the Supreme Court said that a state has an interest in promoting respect for human life at all stages in the pregnancy. So if we can establish by facts, which we can, that life begins at conception, that then we do have a chance of winning that battle, is that a state has a right and an interest in protecting life from conception.
Yeah, I mean, there's so you've got all these different facts. You got the heartbeat. You have, again, the idea that this life could survive outside of the womb and be fertilized outside of the womb and then be transferred to a different person to grow. But again, Than, there's another aspect to it, too, is the pain receptors. It's another aspect that's being used scientifically. When the child can feel pain.
Yeah, this is one of the most tragic ones, Jordan. This will be a part of the case. It's incorporated into the pain-capable abortion bans. These are the late-term bans that have been debated at the federal level. Basically, Jordan, when a forceps is entered and it approaches a child, Jordan, that child recoils in pain. And I don't want to get too much more into it than that. It's very graphic. But look, it's a human being that feels pain at that point. And that evidence, that scientific evidence, Jordan, is just another tally on the side of life. It's a child inside there that can feel pain. In many cases, is viable outside of the womb. It'll be a scientific argument in that court of law.
All right, folks, there's a lot to work on this issue. There's going to be a lot to work on, as you can see. Politics is going to play a significant role because ultimately courts, federal courts, those are judges that are nominated by the President of the United States, are going to be playing a role, a central role in this, already are, the district court level, certainly will at the circuit court level, possibly at the U.S. Supreme Court. And if not this year, or you know, it could be 2 years from now, 3 years from now. So this upcoming election is very important. It's why it's no surprise to me the day we decided to talk about this. Bizarre that, you know, we said that we believe this will be the cultural issue of 2020, and Joe Biden is sending out pro-abortion emails. An issue usually a Joe Biden-type candidate would not want to be running to, but I think he's getting so much pressure in his own party. He's got to be the Barack Obama of abortion, the Hillary Clinton of abortion. He's got to take that extreme abortion view. So he's making it an issue. I want to be clear. This is not like just the pro-life community trying to force an issue that the American people don't want to discuss. It's Joe Biden and the Democrats and Cuomo in New York that are saying, let's have this fight right now. So let's have it. We believe that the facts, science are on our side, on the side of life. We believe that you believe that as well. Get involved. Go to ACLJ.org. Sign our petitions. Get ready for these legal battles. Support good legislation. Work with your state legislators. Get involved and be prepared to be very active. We'll talk to you next time on Jay Sekulow Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.